Sai Ram, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by brothers Prem and Sai Prakash. It's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live. And this is Ganesh inviting you all to yet another episode of the Veda Jignasa program.
Dear listeners, today as a part of the Veda Jignasa program, we have a special talk for you. Today, we have a talk by Sri Lakshmesha Simha on Taittiriya Upanishad based on the Adi Shankara's Bhashyam. This talk was delivered as a part of the workshop conducted on the significance of Vedas in the Vrindavan Whitefield Ashram by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Karnataka. Let us all listen to this erudite talk by Sri Lakshmesha Simha on the Taittiriya Upanishad.
So, without any further delay, we shall commence today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram. गणानांत्वा गणपति गुम हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रुण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनं प्रणो देवी सरस्वती वाजेभिर्वाजिनीवती धीनामवित्रियवतु गणेशाय नमः सरस्वत्यै नमः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् So invoking Bhagwan's divine presence and blessings, and with the thought that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration,
let us all listen to this erudite talk by Sri Lakshmesha Simha on the Taittiriya Upanishad.
Om Shruti Smriti Purananamalayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Padam Shankaram Loka Shankaram Shankarupena Machit तम पंकीकृतमभूद्यया किंकरीयस्य सामाया शंकराचार्यमाश्रये ओम नमस्कारम्स टू द डिग्निटरीज ऑन द डायस एंड माय डियर फ्रेंड्स Sri Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, we call him reveredly as Sri Shankara Bhagavat Pujya Padacharyaha. That is the way in which the learned refer to him. In short, we will say Acharya. Has come to this world for 32 years to derive and deliver the messages that are there in the Upanishads or there in the Vedas in various forms. He has written extraordinary texts like Brahma Sutra Bhashyas, Upanishad Bhashyas, main 10 of them and many more, and Srimad Bhagavad Gita Bhashya, this is called Prasthanatraya, these three. Bhagavan Acharya would have not needed to write all this for himself. It is for us. In this context, we should be ever grateful to him for having unearthed the truths embedded in the vast literature of Vedas and brought it to us in a simpler form. And that is in the form of Bhashyas. What is Bhashya? Bhashya is a commentary on the Vedas, the Brahma Sutras, and the Srimad Bhagavad Gita by Sri Krishna. Now, this is something that we need to understand and pay tribute to Shankaracharya, where he has also written a number of stotras in the form of a worshipping of the deity. Stotra is like taking a deity in various forms, saguna forms and nirguna form, and talking about the virtues of the deity, giving the adhyatmic truths. Today, among the various things that he has contributed for our benefit, we are in the context of discussing and sharing my knowledge, little bit of knowledge that I have, following the tenets of the Bhashya that is written on Taittiriya Upanishad. Why Taittiriya Upanishad? Because Bhagavat Pujya Padaha Shankaracharya was a person who did not have any boundaries. However, he chose Taittiriya Upanishad because all of the truths that are there in all Vedas, in the Upanishads and everything, is condensed in the form of Taittiriya Upanishad. You can find it self-complete. It is also incidentally, it's not the main thing, it is incidentally his shakha. Shakha is, he belongs to Krishna Yajurveda, Taittiriya shakha. That is incidental. Taittiriya Upanishad is very vast. Taittiriya shakha is actually made up of Samhita, Brahmana and Aranyaka. In this, Aranyaka is the last part which includes the Adhyatmic part, and Upanishad is a central part of it. In the Aranyaka, there is these three vallis of Taittiriya Upanishad, which are the topics of the 6 days. Like my dear friends chanted a part of Taittiriya Upanishad, Shiksha Valli, it is called. Then the next one that we are going to take up tomorrow is Brahmananda Valli. Valli is like a chapter. It's like the next section. And the third is Bhrigu Valli. We'll come to that later. In the Shiksha Valli, which is the topic of today, and Brahmananda Valli, which is the subject matter of discussion for the next 4 days, that is 2, 3, 4 and 5. We have devoted 4 days for that. And the last day, concluding day, the 6th day, is Bhrigu Valli. That is the structure of this discourse, series of discourses. Having come to that, Shiksha Valli is in the context of Aranyaka, as I said, which is a part of Taittiriya Shakha, and it is coming after the Karma Kanda. Everybody here, I am very positive with the discussion with the dignitaries here, that all of you have had enough exposure to these things. So Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda is not necessary to be delineated anymore. Karma Kanda deals with the desire to be fulfilled in the form of doing yajnas and karmas and upasanas, and this is called karma. Jnana Kanda, however, is something that goes as a subsequent part of the Vedas, where having attained the results that would have been derived out of the Karma Kanda, what is the result that we would derive out of the Karma Kanda? Chitta Shuddhi, which means the purity of mind. I have a feeling with the nodding of the heads, when I use the word Sanskrit terms, I don't have to translate every Sanskrit term because it is familiar to you. With that assumption, I will go ahead. If you have any questions of not having expressed in English the Sanskrit terms, you can talk to me or ask questions at the 46th minute. I don't know when it has started. So 46th minute. 6:10 means we have about 40 minutes plus about 10 minutes for interaction. I'm planning that way. If the plan goes haywire, the hard stop is 7 because of your other worldly things to do. So once you look at the structure, let's go dive deep into the topic of Taittiriya Upanishad, not just delineating the Taittiriya Upanishad in its original form, which normally gets done by everybody. However, the topic here is Bhashya of Taittiriya Upanishad and Shankara Bhashya of Taittiriya Upanishad. So what is it that is unique? What is it that is condensed in the form of commentary, Bhashya, by Bhagavad Padacharya? That is what we need to understand. So going deep into this, the first way, the first topic that is being taken is the Mangala, that is the salutation to their master. So Brahman, in that first three shlokas, Bhagavad Padra has made it very clear that I am that Brahman. In any of these things where he gives the introductory part of the text, he will not fail to say the ultimate. So yasmat jatam jagat sarvam yasminneva praliyate yenedam dharyate chaiva is the expression that he gives. It is a Sanskrit loaded term, but it essentially means from whom, who is the cause, who is the material cause for srishti, creation, in the form of srishti, sthiti and laya. From whom it came, from by whom it is sustained, and into whom it becomes or dissolved, laya, to that Brahman which is in the form of consciousness. Consciousness is only one, you cannot attribute it to another entity, therefore it is consciousness is inside. That Brahman and consciousness, if he uses that term, it also means you can see where Bhagavad Padra is standing. He is standing in Atmaikatva, Brahmatmaikatva, Swarupa, and then saying that shloka, which is of the nature of consciousness. That is the clue. I bow to the teachers, he says, and those the teachers have explained the Upanishads to all the people. However, I am doing this for not to show off, but to delineate it to the people who need to understand, who cannot understand it by their own effort. Bhasha is itself a delineation. People who can understand Taittiriya Upanishad in its own original form are not the candidates for this, are not the students for this. Like people who are going to come to standard 10, 10th standard, have a prerequisite. People who come to engineering first year will have a prerequisite. So a person who has completed this and attained the knowledge that has to be attained in standard 10 will not come back to standard 10 if he is in the engineering. He has a certain prerequisite. Like that, people who have not got the ability to understand of his own merit, own mental intellectual effort, for them I have written the bhashyas. Not also just for that, he says, with the grace of my teacher and the benefit of those who prefer a clearer explanation, I compose these bhashyas to follow. So in the context of what this is going to follow and what is the topic of this, it says that karma is like a manual for all people, not excluding anyone, inclusive of everybody. If this is very important, if you are da 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 this, then this is your manual. If you are an engineering student, this is your manual. If you are a brahmachari, this is your manual. If you are a grihastha, this is your manual. If you are a brahmana, this is what you have to do. So it doesn't mean that everything that is there in the manual has to be done by everybody else, because you have to say who you are and to whom it is addressed, which already presupposes the fact that you are limited. The moment you say you are a man, you are a woman, that means you have birth, or you have that as an association of yourself. So that thing that you have association itself got born. It was not there, I can safely assume, 60, 70 years ago. All of us are, I think, less than, I don't know, 83. So 100 years back, none of us in this form were there. That is safe to assume. But we were there, is what Shruti says. In what form? There is rebirth, and rebirth is something that I associated with what is called jiva, and jiva does not die. So all of this karmakanda goes to say that there is future worlds to achieve. There is punar, there is a birth prior to this birth, and there is a birth after this birth, punarjanma and earlier janma. Therefore, purva janma and punarjanma and the future janma associated with something that is constant across janmas. If I say, I was this in my previous birth, then who are you? That is the topic of the Upanishads. So, Karmakanda goes to say, Putrenayam loko jayaha, jyotishto mina swargakamo yajeta. Swargakama means you cannot take this body with 5 feet 10 inches and then go to swarga. There has to be something that is associated with jiva, which is not associated only with this body, and after this body falls, you are continuing to have an existence. So, there is a necessity to understand beyond this deha, that is clear. Now there is a necessity to understand beyond what is called the person who goes and gets associated with one deha, the another deha, and another deha. And according to the Upanishad, they say crores of dehas you have had. We don't have a count of that. Fortunately or unfortunately, we don't have remembrance of that. God has given us blessing. So it is said that if you have this constant entity, which is the undercurrent in all these births, that is associated with an entity that is it is not going to be perishing. It is permanent, nitya. The whole of the Upanishads goes to go beyond what has been depicted in the Dharma Shastras to say, you were never born and you already are a mukta, and you don't have to attain mukti. Suddenly everybody said, well, I'm not a mukta anymore, how do I accept the statement? Therefore, there is something that Bhagavad-Padacharya and all the Upanishads do called Abhyupetya Vada. You know what is Abhyupetya Vada? Does anyone know? Abhyupetya means nothing else but state, accepting your state as the starting point, take you from where you are to where you ought to be. I took a Uber, Jayanagar I am. Where am I? I press the button and say, where are you? I say, I'm in Jayanagar. So where you are is going to be shown by what is your current state. Where you want to be, in case there is travel happens, that we'll come to that. That is the target. So you have to identify what you are, where you are, absolutely. So in the context of analyzing what you are and where you are, the first part of the Upanishads has a correspondence to Dharma Shastra, which is the Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda says that the whole of the Vedas is prescribing karma. Karma should be done because karma is the one that gives you chitta shuddhi. That's what comes as an end point. In the context of this, in order to establish this, it is enough if we had said this, but lot of us have doubts. Bhagavad Padacharya brings this commentary in the form of a dialogue. Dialogue in Sanskrit is an opponent's view, which is called Purva Paksha. And the Siddhanti, the answer by Bhagavad Padacharya based on the Upanishad is called Siddhanta. Purva Paksha and Siddhanta. That is how the dialogue happens. If we don't know even to ask questions, he'll bring up questions in the Bhashyas. That is what I am going to follow. So in this it says, one fairly gets established in Brahman, Abhayam Vai Praptosi, and things like that. When you say Abhayam and you say you are one secondless entity, you must establish that fact with reason. How can you say I am one entity? How many people are there in this? 200 people. Then why do you say one entity? That is something that we have to show. However, in order to show that, there is a sequence. I'm not able to understand that up front at once. So there is a logic that follows. So it's questions that are brought up in the form of a student asking questions. That is the objection or the Purva Paksha. And there is an answer that follows, as I said just now. So the first objection is, moksha is a term that everyone knows, no? I'm going to use the word emancipation, since this is an English commentary. Emancipation is, I could have actually just used moksha. It is more apprehensive, You can apprehend that more than, comprehend that more than emancipation, I suppose. But anyway, emancipation consists of remaining established in one's karma. Why? Because what is moksha? It is to get rid of the cycle of karma, the cycle of birth and death. I don't want to be born again and follow the sukha and dukkha that follows. In order to get rid of that, you have to do what is prescribed in the Vedas to achieve that state where you don't have any more to do. In order to achieve that state, you have to realize that karma is not something that one does by oneself for enjoyment, but it is based on something called desire. Desire is to acquire something that I don't have, or to become something that I am yet not. Kama is called desire. So if you have a want, if you are not infinite, you have desires. Why? I am this much, there is something which is not me, I want to acquire that, capitalism. So in the context of this, when you realize that I am limited, your desires will never end. Because you want to grow more, you want to become more rich, you want to become more intelligent, you want to acquire more knowledge, and I want to become something that I am not already. Therefore, the desire is something that Bhagavad Pada has accepted from Shishya, saying, I am limited, I am not fully omnipresent, I am not omniscient. All these Shishya comes and tells in front of him. He says, accept it for the moment as an assumption for the theory, and then take him to a stage where that assumption is invalid. Take him to a stage where there are no questions. That is the theory, that is the procedure that he is following. Emancipation results from karma, is it not? So what is karma? Karma is what gives you the phala. The actions result in results. There are three types of such results that are stored. One is actions that were performed in the past that are stored as results which have not yet started giving results. That is called sanchita. There is another set of actions and results have already been stored. Some of them started giving you results in this current stage today, that is called prarabdha. I think everybody nods their head, so I am very happy. I don't have to go into detail of those things. The third is something where there are things that you do now or later that are going to result in phala or results, that are called agami, what is going to come in the future. Agami we don't have any connection with. Now, sanchita is something that's like what is in your bank balance. Prarabdha is what you have started exhausting by virtue of today's enjoyment. So what the objection says is, well, if you don't want to have karma and you don't want to be connected with this, there is something called types of karmas. What type of karma? One is called nitya karma, the other is called kamya karma, the other is called nishiddha karma. If somebody wants an explanation, kamya means I have a desire to achieve something, so it is to achieve something you do this. That's what I said is the manual. If you want this, you do this. If you want this, you do this. If you want wealth, you do this. If you want putra, you do this. If you want to do shri, if you want to do medha, that is buddhi shakti, you do this yajna. Like that, everybody has been given. If you want, you do this. It's not that everybody should do everything that has been said for everybody in the world. No, it's not that. So, kamya karma. Kamya karma results in whatever you have desired, if you do it properly. Nitya karma is something which you do without desire, and it has been prescribed saying you have to do it. There is no giving up the nitya karma. Incidentally, if you don't do nitya karma, there is a papa. Pratyavaya, it is called. So, what I am going to do is, see, I am going to get rid of all these karmas by exhausting all the prarabdha that has come today without any wincing, without any crying. I'll bear my this thing and then say, whatever comes in today's prarabdha, I will experience and let it be exhausted. For sanchita, sanchita karma, you know, if you go to this pujas and all that, mamaupatta samastha durita kshedvara shri parameshwara prityartham. Have you not heard about this? Durita kshayadvara. Durita means what? Bad things that got collected over a length of time. In order to remove all that, you have to do so and so, so and so, so and so. So that is not necessarily kama karma. That is to remove the effects of bad deeds. Durita only. Unfortunately or fortunately, nobody has said in the sankalpa sukrita duri sukrita kshayadvara. Durita and sukrita. Sukrita I don't want to lose. Why? I have taken all that effort to do sukrita, good things. That is where the problem is. If you have sukrita, you will get good janmas. If you have dushkrita, durita, you will get bad janmas. Both are bad. Because in the context of adhyatmika, both will give you in come to this in the circle of births and deaths. So Bhagavad Padacharya has said, you cannot just do nitya karma and all that, because this nitya karma is for durita kshaya as in the original state. Ultimately it is for chitta shuddhi, but the current context, durita kshaya dwara shri parameshwara prityartham. Parameshwara prityartham means he is the one who is going to give you the phala. So the series of births and deaths that are a result of the desire, kama, which makes you want something. So it kind of prods you into action, prods you into karma. I want this, therefore I want. Go to the manual and say, I want wealth. Okay, I have to do this yajna. I have to do this japa. Okay, do this. There will be somebody who will. So if you want to do a kamya karma, then you are stuck to this desire and then you are never out of the births and deaths. If you do nitya karma properly, the prarabdha and the durita, prarabdha will be washed out by executing. You cannot escape it, you have to go through it. Bhoga, upabhoga. And what about agami karma? You don't have control over it. So I'm okay, I'm fine. That's what the Purva Pakshi says. So he says, Bhagavad Pada said, this cannot be so, because in kamya karma, if you leave also, the karma here that you do is so tough. Even nitya karma, that no nitya karma that you do is devoid of mistakes or deficiencies. So it is not that you can do things absolutely 100% accurate and you will never make a mistake. And if you make a mistake in nitya karma, what did I say? Papa, pratyavaya. So you will not be able to do that. That is not possible. So in this life, you cannot possibly get rid of karma and with karma and karma its effect by just this argument. And he says, obligatory duties are there. Obligatory duties are the one that are going to remove the bad deeds. There itself the answer is, how about good deeds? So if you say that by non-performance of obligatory duties, if you are going to get papa, and I am not going to fall into that trap, I am going to do obligatory duties. Obligatory duties, as I said in the past, I repeat, samasta durita kshaya dvara. So it is not opposed to good results. So that will remain. In the context of Brahman, which is the ultimate self, both good births and bad births are equally bad. Therefore, karma cannot lead to liberation from births and deaths. Then he says, all right, I am going to now start the topic of jnana. The jnana is something that is going to result out of this karma, is it not? Is another thing that comes. If I do this karma and other things, you will get jnana. You will achieve your sarupa. For that, Bhagavad Padra says, If you are going to do an action, it is going to result in four types of results. One is you are going to acquire something. The other is you are going to give up something. The third is you are going to do some transformation on something, vikara, or you are going to clarify something. Samskara, apya, vikarya, or one of those four types of distortions. If you are not going to have Atmaswarupa as belonging to or associated with one of these four type of distortions, then Atmaswarupa cannot be attained by karma. Why? Atmaswarupa cannot be changed. Atmaswarupa cannot be attained afresh because there is nothing other than Atmaswarupa. Now here is the question. That is the first discussion. If you are in this hall, anyone who is in this hall, you say, I am here and I want to go to this hall. Is there any meaning in that? No. Suppose you say, I am in this hall and I want to go to the gate. That means you are not at the gate. For Brahmaswarupa, there is no place where Brahman is not there. So where is the question of going? There is no way it can go anywhere. It cannot even move. Kathamakrita punya prabhavati spanditumapi. What is in this Saundarya Lahari, first shloka is Shiva Shaktya Yukto Yadi Bhavati Shaktav Prabhavitum Nache Devam Devo Nakhalu Kushala Spanditumapi means cannot even move a little bit. If you want to move, there must be some space where he has to move, and that space is already occupied by him, Brahman. Therefore, Shakti should come, Maya should come in the form of creating all this mess in the universe. Only after that you assume of Srishti and everything. Coming back to the topic, Atma is not samskarya because there are no parts in this. If you want to clarify, purify, modify, it has to be made up of parts. Atma is equal, only example that can be given to Atma is Akasha, that is sky, that is ether. And in that there is nothing like making any change to that. If you burn a candle, the akasha doesn't get hot. If rain pours, the akasha doesn't get wet. So Atmaswarupa is, it is not equivalent to that. It's the nearest example that I can give. Akasha, that is the ether. So it cannot be clarified. And it cannot be bent, it cannot be changed, because everything is uniform like that. Assume that there is no change possible in Atman at all, in the Brahmaswarupa at all. So it is not Vikarya. Therefore, if it is not possible to be put into one of these four boxes that are results of karma, Atma cannot be attained by karma. Because if anything has to be born, it has to be born or created with one of these four actions. Therefore, it is necessary to understand what this Brahman is and that Atman is, which you think or we think today we are not. And that is the starting point for Adhyatmika Shastra, Adhyatma Shastra. First thing that Adhyatma Shastra says is, by ajnana, by ignorance, you have thought that you are limited. Actually, even now, while you are sitting, now you, who you think is individual, I am not him, therefore I am different and all that, you are a mukta. That is what Bhagavad Padra is saying. Just imagine what the state will be. What is the result of knowing that? So, that is called moksha, is it not? Freedom. So, freedom means, if I am infinite, infinite means what? There is nothing that I don't have already. I am not already. That means there is no desire. Desire is for what? For something that to acquire or something that you want, or remove something that you don't want. Everything is yourself in that Swarupa, therefore there is no question of kama. That is called freedom. That is a positive entity. However, karma, the theory of karma, the objection says that if you don't do things that are given by karma and you do things, kamya karma, and you do things that are prescribed in nitya karma, then absence of all this karma is moksha, he says. Then Bhagavad-pada says, no, it is not. Freedom is something that is a self, it is in experience every time. Whether you are sleeping as deep sleep without dreams, or you are having dreams, or you are doing transactions like this in the worldly waking state, there is a constant undercurrent that is there in all states. That is what is your own self. Therefore, it is not something that is changing. It is like this. They call me Lakshmi Shah. When I came, I don't know how many saw you, I was wearing, I came from, I had to take 1.5 hours to come here, so I did not wear this dress, I wore a jubba, kurta and other things. That person who came with chappals and all, and then who was looking for a place to change his dress, that same person is here sitting with Panche and Shalya and delivering the discourse. That change, I am the same person who, that connects. So, you are leaving the changes that are there and connecting to the central person who is. That person is what is being said as that entity, that is called Pratyabhijna. Therefore, he says, there is some undercurrent in all these changes. If you want to recognize change, you have to be a third person. I have this, and these two are the same. If you have to judge, there has to be a third person. That is called Sakshi. So, you do not have change. Change is associated with karma, as I said. So, the quality that is associated with change is not there in Brahman. So, let's go into what the Upanishads say. Shanno mitra sham varunaha. Shanno mitraha means, sham means let this be auspicious. Mitraha is the one that is the deity that is there for exhaling. Varunaha is for inhaling. Bhavati Aryama. Aryama is something called the sun. Now, Brihaspatihi. Brihaspati is the deity associated with the mind, the intellect. Vishnuho, that is to who has large steps. Urukramaha. So, when such prayers are done, Om Namo Brahmane, Namaste Vayo, Vayu, and Tattva, Vayu Tattva and Jala Tattva are the ones that sustain this entire universe. You go to any other planet, first thing you say, is there water, is there air? So, Vayu Tattva is the one that sustains the entire so-called life, so to speak. Life in the lower level of context that I am talking about. So, Namaste Vayo, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma. Pratyaksham Brahma is the one that is sustaining, the one that is there as a part of everything that you do, which is called life. That Pratyaksham Brahma, see. Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami. So, when you say you are Brahman, that Brahman is not associated with any defects. Ritam. Ritam means as has been said, exactly like a razor edge. Satyam Vadishyami. Satyam means what is Satyam and what is not Satyam. Anritam is as an object is, if you comprehend it, it is Satyam. Another thing about Satya or Nitya is that which is Nitya is something that does not have a situation where at any one moment it does not exist, you should not say. Tan Maam Avatu. Tat means what? Now, Tat refers to that Brahman. Maam means me. Avatu is let him protect me. Tad Vaktaram Avatu. One who is giving this pravachana, let him protect. Avatu Maam, Avatu Vaktaram. So, a Vaktaram is also somebody that is called Acharya. That is a person who is giving the jnana to the people. So the Shishya and Acharya both say the same thing jointly before this. That's what my friends did just now. Avatu Vaktaram. What is the context of this? Avatu means what? Let him protect us because we are associated with or we are in the stage of acquiring knowledge. For giving knowledge and getting knowledge, let him protect us. So that is shloka. That is the Shantipata. Next it goes into Shiksham Vyakhyasyamaha. How is this to be, the entire Vedas, how should this be chanted? When you chant, you've all known how my friends chanted. There are swaras and there is matras and there is shabdas, aksharas. So when you say Shiksham Vyakhyasyamaha, so there is several levels. Levels are important because the entire gamut of literature in the Vedas and Sanskrit and everything is coming only from 50 elements. Akaradi Kshakaranta, Akara to Kshakara. In order to derive more meaning and sense, they have intonations. That is called Swara. One is called Udatta, that is you don't have any levels. One level down is Anudatta, one level above is Swarita, and there is when you do that, Dirgha Swarita. So there are four levels. So you can say Anudatta, Udatta, and Swara, Swarita. So if you say, what is the use of all this? There is a meaning of that. Many times when you don't express in the proper manner, the meanings change. The interpretations change if you don't do swaras properly. If you don't do proper recitation, the whole transformation happens to the interpretation of this text. So it is not just written text, that is why intonation is there in the Vedas. So you have to protect them. Shiksham Vyakhyasyamaha, that I am going to tell now is what the Upanishad says. Saha then Varna Swaraha. Varna is Aka, then Ya, etc. Those term Akarandi, Kshakaranta. Then Matra Balam. Matra means what? What should be the gap between the two words? It should be very, very clearly protected. If you change this, it's going to be chaos because you have to protect it with pristine purity. You cannot allow any changes to come into that. Therefore, there is practice. It is everybody was given first the injunction to recite, chant, and almost have it by heart, by rote, the Vedas. At least one shakha we were supposed to do. Today there is something called Dvivedi. Have you heard of Dvivedi? There were Trivedis and there were Chaturvedis at that time. Today we are grandchildren of that. We have used the word Chobe, Trivedi, you know, like that, you know. But there were people who had 1, 2, 3, 4 shakhas who had learnt them at that time. Let's come to the context. Sama Santanaha. Sama means in a uniform manner, how should you chant this? It yukta shi iksha dhyayaha. For instance, I'll give you an explanation. Bhagavad Padra has given this explanation. Ishetva. The first sentence in that is Ishetvor jetva vayavastho payavastha. It goes like that. In this, Ishetva. In this, the tva is including one extra ta there. You can say Ishetva. That's not correct. You should say Ishetva. So the correct expression is given in this Shiksha. For instance, if I say any of these things, say Sahanao Brahma Varchasam is there. So in this, the way we have to chant it, he has given in this, Ba Ra is called Bra. Brahma Varchasam, in the way you have to pronounce it is, the first ba should be given a double emphasis, not written in this text. Sahanao, I'll give you the difference. Sahanao Brahma Varchasam is one. The correct way of saying is Sahanao Brahma Varchasam, not Brahma. Sahanao Brahma Varchasam. So that is the normal way of saying. In fact, if Guru says that by voice and people repeat it, we don't even know about these things many times. When you do shlokas, you don't have a rule like that. So, all of these things are very important in what is called shiksha. The science of recitation, the science of pronunciation is given in that to protect the true meaning of these Vedas. Sahanau yashaha. So now there is a prayer, it says, let both the student and the teacher have fame, let their fame grow. Sahanau brahma varchasam. Brahma varchas means the one that is the virtue by the glory of knowing the knowledge of Vedas and also ultimately later the knowledge of the meanings of the Vedas and following that and imbibing that. Athataha sagamhitaya upanishadam vyaakhyasyamaha is the text. So, this is what is going to be defined in the next sequence of Adhyatma Shastra. In how many adhikaranas? Panchasvadhikaraneshu. In 5 adhikaranas, we are going to tell you what is this. In this adhikarana, what is being said is something called a upasana. Upasana means what? If there is a stone that you call as Vishnu. Is that stone Vishnu? No. Everybody can say that stone is not Vishnu, but you have to do Vishnu Buddhi. That is called upasana. So, here, what is the rule? You are given a pratika, you are given an instance that you can get and feel and touch. And in that you have to do certain interpretation, certain concepts you have to imbibe when you are looking at that. So, that is called upasana. Saligrama is a stone that comes from fossils. And in that you have a Vishnu Buddhi, that you perform the actions as if it is Vishnu. That is upasana. Everybody knows the difference between Vishnu and the stone. Similarly, there is a series of upasanas. Why are these upasanas given? Because there is a result. There is a result that comes out of these upasanas. So, there are 5 adhikaranas. These adhikaranas have upasanas in them. Vayusandhanam ityadhilokam. Like that, there are many of these upasanas. In this, Panchasu Adhikaraneshu, in 5 chapters, Adhiloka, Adhi Jyotisha, Adhividyam, Adhiprajam, Adhyatmam. In the Adhilokam, in this there says Vayu is a Sandhanam. Then there are various other upasanas that have been given. There is also Adhyatmika Upasanam. Adhyatmika Upasanam is something that you associate with one's own body, internally. So, these are the 5 upasanas that are called Mahasamhitas. So, in the Mahasamhita, there is a way in which you have to do the superimposition of an object that has been given to you, even though you know that there is a difference. Because if you do this, there is a result as per the Vedas. So, what it says is, the one who does this upasana or meditation as has been prescribed by the Guru will achieve the results that has been given in the upasana. Therefore, you have to do this. This is a part of karma. So, this is something that is a part of the previous part of karma, which originally did all these yagas and everything. In what yagas do, they pour ghee, they do that, and a big congregation of people, there will be few, the smoke and everything. Now, this is mental upasana. There is a difference. So, what comes as a result is step by step coming from the outside to the inside, from the world to the mind and from mind to the knowledge, from knowledge reside in knowledge as a whole. So, indrawn experiences when you do dhyana and upasana. So, he who does upasana, who does as per the shastras, will get the results that has been prescribed in the upasana. So what results are? Various upasanas in various forms, they have been given. In all these four, primarily in the original state, you achieve the status of what is called Brahma, which is not the Parabrahma, but Chaturmukha Brahma. It is called Hiranya Garbha. There is a word used. It is the exalted Jiva. It is not the Brahma Swarupa. In Sanskrit, there is Brahman is used for Parabrahma Swarupa. Brahma is used for the entity who is the exalted life. That is called Chaturmukha Brahma. The Saguna Upasana will result actually not more than you achieving the status of that Saguna Brahma Hiranyagarbha. So, whatever you do in the form of Upasana and Karma and all of these, at the best it can make you the Chaturmukha Brahma, that level. It can take you as identity with that level. It will not take you to the status where there is no difference, there is no second entity, and therefore there is no fear. If there is a second entity, there is fear. Fear of what? Whenever you say fear of something. If everything is the same, there is nothing that can cause fear. There is no second entity. How will that be? That is the state of Ananda. Abhaya is that state. Abhayam pratishtham vindate athaso abhayangato bhavati. All of this comes in the same Taittiriya Upanishad. So, Bhagavad Padru says, he acquires the fruits such as, what are the fruits? Pashukama, Putrakama, Medhakama, or Shri, wealth, all this. Finally, the ultimate of this, all of this is, as I told you, at best you can be Hiranyagarbha. So, this is also required. Why? For those who have not got the level of the experience or previous experience of having done these karmas and got the chitta shuddhi, they have to do karma. Why? Karma is required to be done ultimately for acquiring chitta shuddhi, purity of the mind. Why purity of the mind? If your mind is pure, you can concentrate and it will give you that entry into the PhD level, so to speak. I'm saying PhD level just like that, but I think into the Jnanakanda. For Jnanakanda, you have to have Chitta Shuddhi. Therefore, Ataha Brahma Jignyasa is what it has been said. After Karma Kanda, having attained Chitta Shuddhi, having understood the meaning of that, you go into the Adhyatmika Shastra. And in the Adhyatmika Shastra, it says, the Shruti says, Yes, Chanda Samrushabho Vishwarupaha, and all of this goes as a part of Samhita, Samhita Upanishad. In the Samhita Upanishad, there is various homas. The various homas or oblations are given details in this. In the context of this Samhita, Chandaha, Chandas, Chandobhyo, Dhyamrta, Atsam, Babhuva, Samendro, Medhaya, Asprinotu, Amritasya, Devadharano, Bhuyasam, and all of these come. So you do this Homa for what? What you do Homa is for, let us say, Shri Kama, or Putra Kama, Pashu Kama, all of these are called wealth. Before this, the Shruti gives you Medha. You have to get intellect, wisdom. Why is Medha Kama and the result of Medha given before to Shri Kama? Because if Shri is given to Amedhasaha, it will result in Anartha. So, Amedhasohi Shrihi Anarthayaiva. So, in the sequence, first Medha is prescribed. And then Shri Kama, Japa for Shri, wealth is given. If you are wise, the wealth will be well utilized. If you are not wise, if you don't have Medha Shakti, then it will lead you astray. They know that. Therefore, Medha Japas is given first and after Shri, Japa is given next. So, Brahmana Koshosi Medhaya Pihitaha Shrutam Me Gopaya. So, the way in which Medha Kama gets the Medha is by doing the prescribed Upasana as has been prescribed. So, after that is the Shri Kama. After he is given Shri, that is the wealth. So, in order to perform these actions, you need to have the capability in the body, the mind and the intellect. So, in order to achieve that, Bhagavad Padra has delineated the Taittiriya Upanishad by saying, let my body be strong. Body means what? My angas, the limbs, and then my indriyas, and then my mind and my intellect. All of these things, let that be sharp and be with utmost energy, so that I can do the sadhana that is required to be done in order to achieve what I have to achieve. If I don't have a strong body, I cannot do the tapas. If I don't have capability to do the tapas, you will not be able to do the actions that have been prescribed in order to do the jnana, that is the meditation, the sit at one place without moving and all of those things. It requires those attributes, those strengths. So what you really ask for is to ultimately gain jnana and not for any other intermediate stages. So what has been asked for is, let there be all of these wealth, but that let them be given as Anna, Pana, etc., etc. All of these things after getting Medha. So, let everything be given to a person who is wise, and let me be that wise person. After that, I will get all of these Shri Kama. So, in addition to that, it says, Amayantu Brahmacharina Swaha, Vimayantu Brahmacharina Swaha, Damayantu. Let Brahmacharis, means students, come from all places. Let them bring control over this body. Let them bring control over the mind. Let them bring Shama, Dama, Tapa, everything. Brahmacharinaha. So, Bhagavad Padra says, Chandobhya, from the Vedas, Amrita Atsam Babhuva. Amrita. Amrita Atsam Babhuva means what? The one entity from which you are getting all of these things is Amrita. Amrita is the starting point for the entire amount of virtue or benefits that you are going to get. And that itself says it doesn't have a perishable state. Amrita means there is no marana for that. That kind of an entity is nothing but the self. Ultimately, it comes to when you go into the Shastra. So, let this Chandas or Veda bring us this Amrita, immortality. Vedas are indeed immortal. Immortal, as it is said, by when there is a Arsha Darshana, rishis have acquired these Vedas not by composing them with their intellect. They have from their tapas shakti got them from tapas. Like Arsha Darshana, that is what is called the Arsha Darshana, and that is how Vedas have been given. And people who have acquired this have got it because of their shakti. So once you do this, there are many upasanas that come in the Hova mantras. There are what is called Om. So, there are upasanas like Omkara upasana. Om is something that is a part of every action. Whatever you start with starts with Om. Om is nothing but Brahman. So there is a Omkara upasana that goes into this. In every yajna, every action, it starts with Om. So, in this, there has been description of Om. So, it goes into detail of that. Shanno Mitra Sham Varunaha, Shanno Bhavatvar Yama, Shanna Indro Brihaspatihi, Shanno Vishnururukramaha, Namo Brahmane, Namaste Vayo, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadisham, Ritama Vadisham, Satyama Vadisham, Tanmamavit, Tadvaktaramavit, Avinmam, Avidvaktaram, Om Shanti 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 Hari Om.
As a part of today's Veda Jignasa program, you've heard a scholarly talk on the explanation of the Taittiriya Upanishad by Sri Lakshmesha Simha.
With the humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall conclude today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram. Om Yadakshara Padabhrashtam Matra Heenantu Yadbhavet Tatsarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visargabindu Matrani Padapadaksharani Cha Nyonani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasaishvara Aparadha Sahasrani Kiyante Harnishanmaya Dasoyammiti Mamatva Kshamasvasaishvara Anyadhasharanam Nasti Tvameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Rakshasaishvara Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu. From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. Sairam, stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sairam and happy listening.